I have some good news.
No, really?
Yeah, I know. It's difficult to come by these days. However, Netflix has reported its first loss in 10 years. So, according to Disclosed TV, Netflix posted disastrous subscriber data yesterday. They lost 200,000 subscribers in quarter one and are projected to lose another 2 million by quarter two. And this was reported on the 20th of April, by the way. So, yes, this is quite significant, really, isn't it? And I believe that many of their competitors are not reporting losses. So this seems to me to be Netflix specific.
But their competitors, let's point out, are what? Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Disney?
Disney, yeah.
Who else? There's a few.
I don't really watch any of it. Yeah, no. HBO.
But these are all big companies with large, diverse portfolios, whereas Netflix does not have that, which is seems like a strategic mistake, to be honest.
Yes, and they've also been pushing some horrendous politics. As we can see in this next one, if you could scroll down, John, just to... This is a Netflix exclusive series, He's Expecting, which is a Japanese drama about a man becoming pregnant, which seems somewhat interesting considering
The fact that it's Japanese makes me wonder whether, rather than being the wokeness that we all know and love, whether it's some just weird, kooky Japanese nonsense. and there might be some social commentary embedded in it. It's like, oh, look how tough it is for women to live and you're expected blah, blah, blah. Because they... In Korean dramas, they have experimented with this sort of light gender swapping and things before in media. But yeah, I don't think it's going to... I think that's going to land like a lead balloon in the West.
It certainly will, yes.
Probably like one in Japan as well.
And of course, something that really didn't do well was the show Cuties, where it was sexualizing children.
It's literal paedophilia.
Yes. And of course, it was French. I mean, need you even ask? And of course, there is the show Dear White People, which portrays white people in many different racist ways, which is always nice that you're paying basically indirectly to a show that is calling you racist. That's always nice. And of course, there is also the documentary Vikings Valhalla, which also was criticized for inaccurately portraying women as Viking warriors. So yes, they're going to get us on all fronts here.
It's a full-scale assault.
Yes, so obviously there is a lot of left-wing politics in Netflix shows. One that I was particularly bitter about is their depiction of The Witcher. Race swapped many of the characters from the books and the video games, who fans knew and loved beforehand. And of course, they're like, yes, forget how much you liked that character. You're going to like them even more now they're a minority of some kind. I don't really understand it, however...
Well, the problem is quotas, fundamentally, right? These companies have diversity quotas saying, okay, if you greenlight a show, it has to have so and so many ethnic minorities of this type and that type, and so on. It has to have LGBTQAB+, and so on. And all of that just restricts the creative freedom that directors have. A truly diverse portfolio of dramas would have some which are like The Witcher, taken from essentially Polish and European mythology, and that would probably be mostly white. It would be most Europeans, European actors, European settings, European culture. And then there would be others which would be more, which would be different civilizations, different people.
The funny thing is that there's actually a lot of appeal to a show that's based in a completely different culture. Like if there was some drama about, say, an African king that is facing some troubles and it was well written and directed.
Like the Dahomey documentary.
I would watch something like that because it's both historical and you can actually learn something about a different culture, whereas this sort of rewriting of history a lot of the time is just unappealing to everyone because everyone loses because you're not really learning anything. You're just getting a political message forced down your throat.
And as I talked about in my video, The Subversion of Magic on our second channel, the problem with this is that as soon as you see the smorgasbord of ethnicities, you know immediately the sort of stories that are going to be told. You know that what you're seeing is not a product of the fantasy world, but a product of racial politics. And that's just completely immersion breaking.
To be fair, that is a fantasy world as well.
Yes, it is of its own stripe. But imagine if you suddenly saw Klingons in The Lord of the Rings, right? It would kill your immersion. Klingons belong in Star Trek, not The Lord of the Rings. And it's the same sort of thing when you import the diversity into The Lord of the Rings. Completely immersion breaking.
If there was a show about sort of classical era China, sort of 2,000 years ago, and then there are a bunch of Europeans there, I'd be like, hang on a minute, this didn't actually happen. I don't like this. This is ruining the show. So it's not even a racial thing per se. It's just about the authenticity of the art form.
What I wanted to say on that is that by forcing every show to have its minorities quota, instead of building up a diverse portfolio, you actually build up a homogeneous portfolio where every single show has the same sort of like salt and pepper cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are you doing here? Like, in the name of diversity, you're making everything homogeneous.
Yeah, there's not really much creative thought behind it, that's for sure.
No.
And of course, if you wanted any more confirmation that Netflix is a partisan organization, Barack Obama last year announced the launching of his own show, which is We the People. I believe Michelle Obama also had a show on Netflix as well. So there we go.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why is Netflix actually failing other than this woke stuff? Well, Netflix, of course, along with the West, basically struck off their Russian subscribers. So they're supposedly, according to Forbes, reeling from Russia and competition, of course, because the competition is still contributing to their fall. So yes, the company still has 222 million paying subscribers. However, I believe they lost something akin to about 1 million subscribers in Russia.
Right.
And the Russians, they're very keen to get their Western propaganda, apparently, because Netflix subscribers in Russia have launched a class action lawsuit for the loss of service. So Russian Netflix users are suing the streaming firm for suspending its service as a result of Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Netflix, which has only about 1 million subscribers in Russia, suspended its services in March and has halted the development and acquisition of all Russian-made or commissioned TV shows and films. A law firm has launched a class action legal a legal action against Netflix, which has more than 220 million, yes, it said that already, on behalf of the Russian users who believe the decision to block access is violating their rights. The subscribers who pay 599 to 799 rubles a month, which is the equivalent to £5.55 to £9.26 to access the content from Bridgerton to Don't Look Up, are demanding 60 million rubles or £160,000, about half a million in compensation.
I mean,
that's not very much, to be honest, is it?
No, it's not very much at all. However, one thing I find more interesting is the case that the Russian studios have, who are making this, the directors and actors and so on.
Because
so
it's not really their fault that this is going on.
No, and they're in a bind because they can't really do anything. Are you going to sue your client, essentially, the people who are paying you to produce stuff for them?
Mm-hmm.
They can't really. So they're in a bit of a pickle, I imagine.
Yeah, I certainly don't envy their position.
It would almost be like farmers suing supermarkets. Unless you've got a lot of political clout, it's not going to happen. The supermarkets can just dictate prices to you and you have to produce for them.
Absolutely. So Elon Musk has also weighed in. Slashdot says Netflix shares crater 20% after company reports it's lost subscribers for the first time in more than 10 years. And then Elon says the woke mind virus is making Netflix unwatchable, which I wholeheartedly agree. And then someone who I don't recognize says woke mind virus is the biggest threat to the civilization. And Elon Musk just says yes.
So I wonder if the woke mind virus is the great filter. You know, you've heard of the Fermi paradox. So if there are so many, John's chuckling at the corner there. If there are so many, if there are so many planets and so on, then why aren't we encountering alien life? And the idea is, well, maybe there's something that happens that stops life from getting its technology to the level where we can actually communicate with each other. Maybe there is a great filter that just kills civilization stone dead. And I wonder whether that great filter could be the woke mind virus. That's what I think.
I would be very surprised, to be honest.
It could be, you know, cultures becoming more international and less sort of parochial.
It's possible that
time for
if that's the thing that wipes us out when we've got all these diseases, nuclear weapons, other weapons as well. I mean, I would almost be annoyed.
It would be hilarious, but also quite bleak.
I find it difficult to see the humour despite laughing about it. So yes, Netflix also estimates that 100 million households are sharing passwords and suggests a global crackdown is coming, which is ridiculous.
Sorry, I just had an image of on Easter Island, the last person getting gender reassignment surgery.
That really is bleak.
Sorry.
Thanks for the black pill, John.
You're welcome.
So yes, Netflix said more than 100 million global households use a shared password, with more than 30 million of those in the US and Canada. Netflix suggested it will begin to make accounts that share passwords pay up, which is not going to help their losses, I imagine. I imagine people are going to be like, what? I can't share this with other people who may be splitting the cost. And so they're just going to cancel it, which I think if I had a subscription, which I definitely don't, I would do. Because, yes, you're basically preventing me from using a service that I signed up to use and changing those conditions. And Netflix has long ignored password sharing because it has been growing without cracking down on it. But the company announced it's lost subscribers in the first quarter. And this seems like, to me, another nail in the coffin for them, really.
Well, it seems like something they should have been a little more sensible about from the start, to be fair. But yeah, that's true. I think the real problem Netflix has here is that they haven't really diversified, that they've tried to keep the same business model going, knowing that these enormous corporations are going to eventually come up to challenge them, which, by the way, makes the whole market worse in the short term, at least for the consumer, because now instead of watching the show you want to watch on the one online streaming platform, which you pay one subscription to, now in order to get access to everything you might want to watch that your friends might recommend and so on, you have to subscribe to like six different things. So the cost is multiplied by six or seven or eight or more. So there is that aspect to it as well.
There is a way around this in that many of these services offer free trials. And if there is a show you want to watch, have the free trial and then cancel it, which is what I did. But there's very little TV I actually watch. I think it's very bad for you.
Yes. Same.
It's not particularly healthy, that's for sure.
But isn't it a bit of a paradox? Because normally where you have a monopoly, you have bad service and bad customer relationships. So perhaps the argument is that Netflix was never truly a monopoly because there were the old school ways of getting these things. And there was internet piracy as well and things.
Which I really don't think it's possible to have a monopoly on television media.
Right.
Because there's always going to be an incentive for competition.
But think about games, for example. So Valve and Steam has been going for years and years and years. And largely speaking, they've done a good job. There are some competitors, but they are much smaller.
But they also try and actually be competitive with their pricing a lot of the time. They have lots of sales, for example. So they're pretty savvy about what the consumers actually want out of their service.
Yeah,
which,
that's true.
For the most part, anyway. So, yes, Netflix has also launched a new plan to launch a cheaper ad-supported service as well, which I don't know about. I don't know who would want to pay for a service and still see adverts for it. Obviously, it'll be cheaper, but
it's
really...
It's a terrible idea. It's not going
to work. I don't think it'll work either. Netflix co-CEO Reed Hastings revealed the move on the company's quarterly earnings call on Tuesday, adding the company will be examining what those plans will look like over the next year or two. And they go on to say, those who have followed Netflix know that I've been against the complexity of advertising and a big fan of the simplicity of subscription, Hastings said. But as much as I am a fan of that, I'm a bigger fan of consumer choice and allowing consumers who would like to have a lower price and are advertising tolerant, get what they want, makes a lot of sense. And I do agree that consumer choice is good. But I just think that this probably isn't going to be what people really want. Yeah.
I wonder what the future of this ecosystem will be, whether there will be one big player that essentially manages to bundle the various online streaming services and then offer those at a higher subscription cost. I think whatever happens, the consumer is probably going to lose.
Oh, yeah. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, when all of these business as a service model style subscription services expanding, this is the sort of creeping business model of the World Economic Forum, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole because I have a lot to say about it. But fundamentally, it's changing the default to everyone pays for things, not that they use, but so that they have the possibility of using it. In practice, that means that you pay for things that you don't use. And if you recall, like before, for example, you could use Google passwords and things like that to sign into multiple things. Use your Google account to link to other things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period where you had to memorize dozens of different passwords and things.
Yes.
And it's going to be like that, except instead of a password, which costs you nothing, it will be an ongoing subscription service. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get out of that will be through some reasonably tortuous procedure. You won't be able to just cancel it at your bank or anything like that. No, you'll have to go through and speak to customer service and sit on this call and go through automated answering machines and so on and so forth and send emails. And you'll have to do that for every single one of them. So what it's doing is setting up a system whereby they can parasitize the wallets and bank accounts of everyone.
Yes.
With no work and no mm-hmm. effort.
Absolutely.
That's why I despise mm-hmm. this system.
And I feel like it is somewhat fated to fail in a way, because... Yeah. I think there will be more people like me who just opt out of watching television entirely. Just like, well, it's not worth it then.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be something that's relaxing, your entertainment, you don't want the hassle of having to jump through loads of hoops to set it all up.
So I've gone one step further. I don't even have Wi-Fi. And I find it amazing. When I go home in the evenings, I can relax, do offline things, just read books, and it's great. I love it.
How are you comfortable in your cave? I don't know. Doesn't it get drafty?
Nice hand paintings on the wall. Yeah.
So yes, the final thing I wanted to point to is this tweet from Lauren Bovet. Netflix is projected to lose 2 million subscribers and CNN Plus can't even reach 200,000. The correlation between companies going woke and then broke is a new law of physics at this point. Which is a fair point. And it's nice to see that CNN Plus is not doing particularly well mm-hmm. in the grand scale of things. And I imagine that people aren't too keen on paying money to be propagandized.
No, not at all.
But there we go. Hopefully this trend continues, although they are trying to do things to prevent it. But I'm very skeptical about it actually working. Mm. But hopefully the phrase is true. Go woke, go broke.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium articles we do, this one from John Tangney, Mr. Potato Head, The Black Family, and The Case for Reparations, also now with an audio track for Silver Tears to listen to instead of having to read. And if you want to follow what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.